8. Barry Chapman is in talking about plumbing matters on a Tuesday. Nice to see you again, Barry.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, awesome.
And a happy belated Father's Day to you.
Yeah, it was an awesome weekend with the kids, eh?
It's been a great... You know what? I'm one of those that is of the opinion that although it is difficult to run a business when you've got public holidays interfering all the time, I love them. I love them. I just like the break. It's cool. And the fact that it was Father's Day and Youth Day. Okay. So everyone should be well and truly relaxed and rested now.
Yeah, all the fathers could celebrate their youth.
Yeah, the vanishing, the disappearance, the passing off. And last week we were talking, and it was very interesting to discover if you've ever moved into a home and had a situation where you believe you've got a very tiny geyser because, well, you get one bath, and even by the end of that bath, the water is running cold, and you think, oh, it's a tiny geyser. In fact, I learned last week from Barry that this is symptomatic of a problem with your geyser that has a baffle in it that's designed to allow an inflow of cold water without affecting the outflow of hot water, so it doesn't dilute your hot water to lukewarm and cold. That's the way it's supposed to be. When that baffle breaks, as they do, because they are plastic and they, you know, get brittle and you get a bit of a bump and a shunt from water being turned on and off as repairs are being done outside, etc., etc. These things tend to break and then little bits of plastic go everywhere. And you've just had an example of that this week.
Yeah. So we went through that exact same process. The client was going on along the lines of, I'm having one shower and then it's going lukewarm. We've got a 200-liter geyser up in the roof. What's going wrong? So we went out to site, and straight away the first thing you check out is this little strainers and things inside, and the shower in the basin and the shower head, and you look inside there to see if there are any particles of the baffle. And once you've confirmed that, it's a matter of draining the geyser out. Then you've got to backflush your hot water system, because all those little particles float up to the top and then they go through your piping system and can sometimes be very difficult to get out. So work all of that stuff out, take the baffle out, replace the baffle, and the baffle is a diffuser. Basically looks like a giant plastic hand shower that sprays onto the side of your geyser, breaking up the velocity of the water as it's coming into the geyser, as not to mix up your thermoclines. So this particular client that we went through this process with is like a kid in a candy store now. You know, they're having premium hot showers and a multitude of them as well. So a process that, and the important thing that you need to know here is the amount of electricity you're going to waste because of a broken baffle is also extremely large, because your geyser is going to be heating up.
Constantly
heating up, because every single time you open a hot or cold tap, it mixes everything up inside the geyser. So you're losing a lot of electricity. But in conclusion, about 2.5 hours, baffle replacement, pipes flushed out. We've got one extremely happy customer that actually thought his geyser needed to be replaced because he was not aware that there's this component inside a geyser.
And it's interesting that from last week's discussion as well, it doesn't have to be very old, the geyser, apparently a couple of years, and it's that baffle can become brittle. So you don't have to replace the geyser, and it's a serviceable part. And if you are experiencing that symptomatic lukewarm water after an initial hot flush. Oh, no, that's the wrong word. But certainly if you are battling with the water supply, the hot water supply, give your friendly plumber a ring, explain the symptoms. You'll be surprised that something like that can be sorted relatively quickly, relatively easily, and relatively inexpensively, which is all good news. And there's more good news if you're on a septic tank system, which apparently half of Salt Rock and Sheffield apparently is.
Yep.
There have been issues in the past with people not able to get one of those vacuum trucks in to drain out the septic tank, and then it becomes full and overflowing and a big mess. There's an alternative. Barry's got the news.
Yeah, so a septic system. It's a living environment. So the two worst things for a septic system is chemicals and fat. So the two of them together, you are going to annihilate a septic system. A lot of the properties that we have along our coastline are short-term rental properties or rental properties. And as a person who's not owning that property, you are not that
conscientious
about what needs to be done to look after this living organism. So, and a lot of those properties have their septic tanks way down at the bottom of the garden because that's everything flows downhill. So we had a client that the septic tank backed up, the drains blocked, and it came out in a couple of places. There was a very large amount of fat on the property. It is a short-term rental property. And we tried to get the honeysucker in to come and clean it out just to give it a kickstart to try get a lot rid of a lot of that solid. We couldn't get the honeysucker down there. Pipe wasn't too long, it was too far. Then they wanted to manually pump it out, which means digging open the septic tank, getting into the opening of it. And I just said, hang on, let's stop the bus a little bit. Let's reanalyze this and let's look at bacteria. So the bacteria in a septic tank is so important. It's the digester. It's the same thing that we have in our stomachs. We've got good bacteria that look after and consume and do what it needs to do. Same thing in a septic tank. That's why chemicals are a no-no. So we dosed the system with a bacteria blend 14 days ago. And the property had a full house. There were 16 people there. Over the last 4 days, and the septic tank had one moment of a little bubble up where it was loaded during a peak shower period, and the effluent and everything that came up was chalk and cheese from what originally came up. The first time that it came up, there was a serious amount of fat solids and everything inside it, and now you've probably only got about 10 or 15% of that fat left. So the bacteria has been consuming. The process with the bacteria thing is it's not instant relief. You generally are about 3 weeks to allow the bacteria to do its thing. But then you've got to change your cleaning products. Make sure they're bacterial septic tank friendly. You've got to keep dosing the system with bacteria to keep it digesting, keep that bacteria count
high. How do you do that? You can't get into a tank from the top if it's sealed. So what do you do? Pour it down the drain?
Flush it down the toilet.
Okay. So yeah. Simple.
So there are companies around that sell the bacteria in bulk. We're very fortunate to have one of the main distributors in South Africa in our Ballito area.
Oh, wow.
And if you're flushing it down your toilet, you rotate from toilet to toilet to toilet around your house once a week. It's a 50-gram little scoop you put inside. And what the bacteria actually does is then cleans your piping system as well, not just the septic tank. So the bacteria, all that bacteria, as soon as it starts consuming, gets the food, and they populate themselves, and you end up with squeaky clean pipes underground.
Gee.
As well as a clean septic tank. So, I mean, I've got clients that have had septic tanks on farms in the outer Ballito area that have been through four generations and never been opened, because the bacteria count is high and they've been looked after. So you always see those signs, septic tank, do not dispose feminine products and tissue wipes and all those funny things down, because they will block up the system.
Mm.
When that happens, you don't really have much of a choice. You've got to get it pumped out. But if you can behave and not let that stuff go down the drain, you can, and your system has been constructed properly, you should be able to revive an entire septic system with bacteria dosing.
So good news from the world of plumbing, and if you're on a property with that kind of system, the septic tank, it's very good advice from Barry Chapman. And if you need more, give him a ring. Chapman Plumbing, they sponsor our news in the afternoon. Very nice. Thank you for that. And Barry's in every Tuesday for a chat. Always something interesting to learn. I mean, you know, living in any kind of modern environment, one is still very kind of connected to the fundamental basics of life. Water is life.
100%.
And if you look after it, it tends to give you trouble-free living. And of course, if you don't, you can have problems. But that's when a good plumber makes a huge difference in your life. Barry, thanks for joining me on
Thank you so
the
much.
Morning show. This will be up as a podcast shortly. The Morning Show.